education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
One on 1.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back as we do every week, every Monday, but I'd even say we are back as we do every year, because every year comes a time when we are celebrating the matric results, which we are today, and hopefully you're all celebrating, majority. And obviously everybody has opinion and, you know, and their journey with their matric. And that's what we are going to be discussing today from every angle with, firstly, with the principals that, you know, these are the leaders that brought our kids to the achievements that they have achieved. And then in the next hour, we'll be speaking to the students that have achieved the great distinctions and everything in that area. So I'm not going to be giving an introduction today or speaking about anything besides directly to the principals, because I have four very important principles here in the discussion with me. Each one of them, I'm sure, has a lot to offer and a lot to say. So I'm going to, as I said, eliminate myself a bit. But we are here really to celebrate, discuss, and chat about the matric results. So let's go right into it. And we'll first get to know you one by one. Good afternoon to all the principals. And let's say good afternoon to Mandy Grust, who is the principal at King David Victory Park. Good afternoon, Mandy. Okay, while we sort out our technical challenge with Mandy, let's say good afternoon to Miss Annabelle Roberts. She is the head of the senior school at Rodin. Good afternoon, Annabelle.
Good afternoon, Rabbi G.
Okay.
Thank you, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Okay, are you celebrating today?
I think we will be, yeah.
Okay.
It's an exciting day. There's always a lot of anticipation. And in the greater part, most people get to celebrate today, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Just a bit about your school.
Rodin is one of the oldest schools in Johannesburg. And we are celebrating our 122nd year this year. And very, very excited. We're founded to empower young women, and in a world that perhaps doesn't empower women naturally. And we really do believe that the work that we do in developing the whole human is work that is going to set them up for lives of significance going forward.
Amazing. Thanks. Okay. Good afternoon, Lorraine Schrager. You are the principal at King David Linksfield.
How are you, Rabbi G?
Okay, I'm sure we all are familiar, but just a word about the school and about the general mood and happy, or what space we're in today.
King David High School Linksfield is the same as Victory Park. We're Jewish day school based on values of orthodoxy and Zionism, a very, very special place. And yes, I think today will be an exciting day. I think the poor children have got another hour or so to wait. But as Annabelle said, I think it will be a day of great celebration for everybody.
Please, God. Okay, it's good. We could still teach them a bit of patience. Good afternoon to Joseph Gerasi. You are from Red Hill.
Hi, Rabbi. How are you?
Good, thank God. A bit about your school as the executive head of...
So, yes. So Red Hill is, one of the only secular schools in the private education system. We have students from all the different communities coming to our school, the Jewish community, Muslim community, Christian community. So we're a secular school. We look to our parents to educate their kids from a religious perspective in terms of how they would like to do it. And we basically just look at, you know, universal rights and universal human rights.
Okay. And last, before the first ad break that we have today, we'll try again. Good afternoon to Mandy Grust, the principal at King David Victory Park.
Afternoon, Rabbi G. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. A bit about Victory Park High School and what are you expecting to hear today and see today?
I think David Victory Park High School is a very special high school. We are small in size, but our size is our strength. And we are also looking forward to good things coming out this afternoon. And one of the things that we really focus on is the holistic child and making sure that the journey through our school focuses on many, many different areas. I know today focuses on academic excellence, but we do pride ourselves on working towards the whole student and making sure that their journey is a good one at our school.
Amazing. Okay, thank you and good to meet all of you. We're just going to take our first ad break, and when we come back, we're going to start our discussion about the journey, academia, schools, etc.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are here discussing a very important discussion. A lot of us are waiting today in anticipation to see what will be with our matric results, what's coming out, where we're at. Some of us know, some don't. Wherever we're at in this game of, well, maybe not game is a good analogy, but wherever we are with our matric results, waiting to hear what's going to happen. And I'm here with the people that make these matric results happen and the principals who are the leaders in their schools, motivating and supporting the kids until they reach their potential. So I want to bring up a topic while we speak and waiting for the results and speak about a topic that we did not speak about last year. And let me say, it's been a few years already that we've been having this yearly discussion with principals regarding matric results and thoughts. And we had many different debates about publishing, not publishing, what are the thoughts, etc. We last week even spoke about it with the law side of things and all kinds of things. And I remember last year we had a big group of principals that in the discussion, I think from the principals on today's show, Joseph, I'm sure you were there, and Loren, you were there, Andy, I'm not sure, but definitely not, you weren't there yet, but for sure Lorraine and Joseph were there, and we spoke a lot about the space of schools and where that comes in. And there was one thing that we didn't speak about because I don't think it was that relevant just a year ago, and suddenly now it's completely relevant, and that is AI, artificial intelligence, where it comes into play in our lives, where it comes into play in our future jobs, where it comes into play with academic, with research, with information, with everything, a huge factor and a huge change. So I'd love to hear the thoughts and the where we're going with this in our schooling systems. Are we preparing for it? Are we prepared for it? What are we addressing? Are we ignoring it? Are we part of it? And I'll start actually with two of the principals here. I'd love to hear from your side, Joseph and Annabelle. Joseph, as I've, from knowing your school, I know that there's a lot of work in that area of technology and knowing where we're up to date. And Annabelle, hearing that your school is 120 something years old, I'm sure you've advanced tremendously over the years. So for those two angles, Joseph, how are you addressing and preparing for the AI to come?
Rabbi, thanks. It's a very relevant question because we know that there is no way of getting away from it. And so we've got to embrace it and make sure that we are, you know, at the cutting edge of AI. So what we've done as a school, we've been lucky enough to be able to have done a lot of building projects over the last 5 years. And our new project is going to be our innovation hub, which is a two-story building that has been designed completely around the future world and the technology that will be involved in the future world. And not only the technology, but the thinking that is needed in order to engage in the kind of world that we're going to be going into. And AI is one of those things. I'm very lucky that within our school, we have many parents who work in the AI space and in the innovation space. And we formed a board of 12 parents, and they've been just absolutely amazing. They've given us entrance into some of the top AI companies in South Africa and internationally. We've had people from overseas coming to visit us. And we will be starting building in August. We have a head of innovation who is leading this journey. And all of our teachers, we run an incredible professional development program where every single staff member has to be involved in professional development on a weekly basis. And we will be focusing completely on the future world technologies. And so we are preparing ourselves for that, and we're very excited about where it's going. So I don't think it's something to be afraid of. You can't be afraid of something that is inevitable. You've got to embrace it. Our students sometimes are way ahead of us. So one of the reasons we brought our parents into the fold, those that are in that space, because unfortunately, as teachers, the majority of us are not actually in the innovation space in terms of the technology. We're there when it comes to innovating in education. We now have to merge the two together. How do we get how do we innovate pedagogically, but at the same time use the technology that's out there to assist us in that way?
Okay, amazing. And approach it, Annabelle, from your side of a school that is growing and evolving for many years.
I think I just want to echo what Joseph has said, and that is that we've got to embrace the inevitable, and we have to prepare young people to use it as a tool, but not abuse it as a crutch. And that's a fine line. It involves a lot of staff development and a lot of staff training. And then I want to segue slightly in just to say that what we haven't got is artificial emotion. So if we're going to look at education and what it's going to mean in the future, in the same way as, you know, very few households have got the A to Z of encyclopedias sitting on a shelf any longer because you're just going to Google it, we have to move past what AI can do for us. So routine tasks are going to be done by a machine, but we're never going to get to have routine feelings. So if we're going to do this business of educating a whole child, and Mandy spoke so eloquently about the importance of holistic development, not just academic development, we need to make sure that these are people who learn how to be emotionally regulated, who learn how to be emotionally intelligent, who learn how to engage with other human beings as souls, as people. And so those skills have to start explicitly coming out in how we educate, how we teach, and what we expect from the people who leave the bastions of excellence that are private schools in South Africa, privileged spaces that need to do that little bit more. So I think we're all working hard on how we integrate AI into the classroom, but I would like to say that we have to build the strength of emotional intelligence going forward.
Okay, so I will continue on that question or that point of the emotional intelligence, because which we'll get to later, I do think that there is quite a bit of emotional tools out there with AI and therapies, but nothing has yet to beat the connection between, impersonal connection between two people. And even if the AI could be a great therapist, you will never have that, or at this point, at least you won't have that connection of an emotion of person to person that can understand each other without words, or connect or feel close and feel that you're not lonely, etc. I don't think AI could really resolve loneliness, although who knows where we go with this. Yet the question regarding that side of things, and I want to ask the King David School principals, and I'm saying specifically because each one of you has your own angle, yet many of your alumni would refer to you as the King David family. So although you're same family but different directions and guidance and principles, one of the things we've dealt with a lot in the discussion is when kids feel that they're not going to be good enough. And when we spoke about social media and we spoke about, you know, there's excellence and we only take pictures of the amazing things and it's all about likes. And a child looks at it and says, I'll never be there and I'll never be so well. When you have kids in your school today looking at what AI can do and say, I can never, ever in my life compete with that. I could never be as good as what a computer can produce. Then why should I? Why should I produce something that is not going to be good enough, that anybody who puts a question now in 3 seconds will have a better work done than what would take me 3 days? How do I deal with that? Mandy. Mandy, something with our connection is not really working, so I'm going to wait with your answer for a minute, and let's try sort that out. And in the meantime, Lorraine Schrager, who is the principal of the other school family, within the family, how do you address those feelings today of students, and specifically with the AI, that maybe one would say, you know, my work is becoming useless. I mean, any machine could do this so much better, so much faster.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's the reality. And I think that AI will be able to do things that human beings won't be able to do. So I think the real thing that we have to be doing is teaching our kids other skills, skills that computers will be able to do. We have to teach them entrepreneurship. We have to teach them creativity. We need to teach them compassion. We need to treat how children collectively work together. So I think that I don't think we need to compete with AI. I think AI will have a place. It will have a place in schools. It will have a place in the workplace, just generally. But you know, I don't think that that's really an issue. I think the real issue is that how do we get children to take their place in a world where they are not going to have to crunch numbers or remember content or all of those things, but we have to focus on real skills of how they're able to be interpersonal within their workplace or wherever they go. So I don't think that it's a worry. I think our kids know that AI can generate things that they can't. I don't think they feel that in any way they are competing with a computer. AI will have a place in schools at a certain level. I think that, in fact, at some level, maybe that even the way assessment is done will have to change. Those are very important ways so that we're not reliant on just an AI bot generating things that we really have very little knowledge about. So, you know, that's just my feeling in terms of our responsibility in creating, and I think I go back to what was discussed before, creating a whole child, but a child that will have to focus on everything that a computer can't.
Okay. So staying on that line and how it's approached, just before we move on to the next question, Mandy, from your point of view, how are you addressing that feeling of, you know, how am I going to compete? Why is my work valued in any way?
I think it's important to emphasize the validity of everybody's work. And so I would agree with Lorraine, Ms. Raga, that the development of skills are key. And working together creatively, collaboratively is a way to go. Talking to students from the very outset of their journey, coming in through from the primary school all the way through, IA will develop as various other aspects have developed, and looking at them and almost dealing with them head on would be the way to go. So I'm definitely in agreement with the other principals who have spoken, and we are actively looking at how our staff and how the children can benefit from AI, as well as making sure that they are standing on their own two feet and making sure that they are using all the grit and tenacity that they have to work through the various challenges that they have, but definitely going back to the person and developing skills to deal with the processes.
Okay. You know, if someone would have told me 30 years ago when I was in school that a day will come and that I'll be brave enough to be interviewing four principals of high school in leading big schools, I would never, ever believe it. And yet I'm sitting here and speaking to you as principals and even calling you by your first name, which debatable, but I am. And my question is, that was unheard of when I was in school. Our parents, grandparents wouldn't speak to the principals or teachers and call them by the first name. Principals, and forgive me for this, were very scary people. And you we know we would have a panic attack when we passed by their doors. Yet today, it's very different. And principals today are much more leaders than managing the education and discipline. They're much more role models, trying to push the kids. How do each of you see the shift in generation and the changes from where we were just a few years ago and where we are today when it comes to discipline, management, leadership, education, etc.? Joseph.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that generations have changed. And I almost think that, you know, this generation is playing out, you know, what their parents did with them. So what I'm saying there is our generation, when we were at school, our parents were very, very hands-off, right? They allowed you to go to school, do what you need to do, and were hardly ever involved. I don't think my parents ever came to a parent information evening. Today, you can't keep parents away. And I think what happened as a reaction to their own parents, this generation of parents feel they have to be overly involved because their parents weren't involved in their lives, and they feel that they have to now do that. I would imagine in another generation's time, the children of today will be hands off again because they'll say our parents are just too involved in our lives. We're staying out of it. So it's a reaction to different generations. We see that happening. I think what we're seeing today, specifically in a school like Redhill, where we have various different communities, as I said, we've got, you know, different races, different religions, we've had to try and come together. And because we're not a faith-based school, we've had to build a Redhill community. And what we've done very successfully is that our parents and our students and our teachers feel part of this community. So we talk about the community, but you can't just talk about a community and then not involve them in the community. You can't say we are a community, we want your input, we want you to be involved, we want your support, but we don't want to talk to you and we don't want you involved. So we hold many, many information evenings, probably far too many, but we'd rather have more than less. When we've changed our curriculum, when we've changed to the IB, when we changed to the MYP, the middle years program, we have in the afternoon sessions for parents to come in so that they can understand education better. I've always said to our parents, you know, I can't have parents telling me how to educate their child, but I'm obliged at all times to tell you what I'm doing with your child. You need to be involved. You need to understand it so that you can make a informed decision as to whether you like where we're going. When we brought in the International Baccalaureate, when we brought in the middle years program, there was a lot of fear about what was this international program about. So we had to take our parents through it. We also find that we've got to take our parents through not only academic issues, but social and emotional issues. Many of the parents today don't really know how to deal with their own children. We're going through a generation with, you got issues around gender, you got issues around so many different things. And the parents of today, they don't know how to deal with this. So as a school, we've become far more than just an academic institution. We are a community, and we have to look at all areas where our community need assistance. As I said to you, we've called upon them in terms of AI, in terms of technologies, future technologies, because we've got parents that really know this stuff, whereas we don't. And we've said to them, okay, you come in and assist us with those type of things. So it very much is community building. I think community building is good. I think those of us who've been in the game for a long time, I definitely know myself and Lorraine have been doing this for many, many years. You build a certain amount of respect after being in the position for so many years. And I think what you then find is parents do respect the position that we hold. And I'm very happy to say that while they'll challenge us, I've always found parents to be incredibly respectful when they do challenge us. Of course, there's the one or two, that don't have any boundaries, but the vast majority, and I think that's what's wonderful about being a leader in a community, you do a really good job, or you hope you do the best for their children, and they respect you for that. So that's where I think we're at. I think
definitely, definitely. We do need to take an ad break, and when we come back, we will continue with this exact question, as I would really want to hear each of your takes on it. And just a comment on what you said, Joseph, the fact that the schools are becoming a community is evident in so many different areas, including the fact that we've changed from area-based schools to parents choosing the school based on the community or identity or connection or group of people that they want their kids to be in. And part of We could debate the idea, but that is definitely the reality that we are seeing. A short break, and we will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back in a special hour that we are celebrating the matric results about to come, and we are really in the space of discussing education and time, and I'm here with the principals of four of the leading principals and leaders in the high school communities. Specifically after the comment before the break, Joseph, I'd say communities. And we are talking about the question I asked you before the break was, where has the principal role changed throughout the years from discipline, scary, to leading, loving, connecting? And, you know, Annabelle, I'm going to go to you and your school, who's been around for over 120 years, is I want to share with you one of the high school principals, a very close friend of mine, shared with me not long ago that he was taking a Shabbos afternoon walk, him and his wife and daughter. They were just cruising the streets, and his wife went to the same high school that his daughter currently does. And as they were walking, from the end of the street, they saw the principal of the school walking, also having her afternoon walk and enjoying. And the mother and daughter both had the same principal, just a few years apart. And as soon as they saw her, the mother stood straight, wiped her clothes, became appropriate, and just went into like this balanced standing and became serious in a second. She already is a well-known educator. Her husband is a high school principal, and she's well in the game, but it was an instinct. And her daughter reacted with, "Hey, I'm so happy to see my principal," and said hi, which was a huge gap in generation. So from that, Annabelle, what are you seeing in the change of generation of principals?
Yeah, I think your thing of principals were scary and aren't anymore comes from really the research that's been done around the importance of connection. And the zeitgeist has moved where it's so important, the relationships that we develop as principals with our parent body, with every single student, that people feel safe when they are with us. People feel a sense of belonging when they are with us. All of those have come out really strongly as important in terms of clearing neural pathways, helping with learning. So having children scared is actually been shown to be counterproductive in terms of getting them to learn. So as a result, I would argue that in every school, the teachers and the principals are working towards good relationships. They can be respectful relationships, but they are good relationships where the heart of one person connects with the heart of another person. And I think that is a really positive shift. It really makes our job a lot more joyful. I don't know about the other three people in the room. As I know them, I'm sure their favorite part of the job isn't the discipline side of things. It's the meeting, it's the greeting, it's the connecting.
Okay. And that connection, Mandy, from your side, how do you view it? Okay, Mandy, and unfortunately, we're going to move on to Lorraine with that same question. We're going to get this right eventually. My principal in school said I should never give up, so I should always try and try and try, and eventually it will work. Lorraine, from your approach, and also as one who, you know, maybe you do have a mother and daughter, father and son, or whatever, parent and child that you have been a principal of. How do you see the change?
Look, I think that realistically, children today are not just going to accept authority. They're not going to accept anyone shouting at them or, I suppose, being scary. I think that children feel, and there is an absolute need for children to be seen and heard. And so it definitely, the relationship has to shift. I think that If, in other words, instead of being an authoritarian, you have to be in authority. And I think that our kids respect that. We can't live in a world where children are just never heard. And specifically in our community, our children like to be heard. So do our parents. And so it's really is an important touch point that we are able to create relationships. I know that probably the best teachers in our school are the teachers that are firm, boundaried, but respect the students, and they respect in turn. It's not a question of just, a free-for-all and, you're going to sit and have a cup of coffee with them. But I do believe that central to being a good school, to being a good teacher, to being a good head is the creation of relationships. And I think that we almost reached, I mean, as Joseph said, we won't say how many years we've been in education, but the truth is that, you know, I think that after COVID, our relationship with the kids changed even more fundamentally. I think that parents had suffered during COVID, whether it was emotionally, financially, we see much more anxiety, depression, and schools have had to actually take up that role of a lot of what is probably at not happening as it would have prior to COVID. And so the school has another aspect to its responsibility. And I guess as a community school, we understand the complexity of it. We understand everything that goes on within our community. And so to have banged on in the way that we always have, and I suppose you're quite right, Rabbi, I was quite scared of my principal at I think some of my kids are still scared of me, but the truth is that one would hope that one understands and sees. Children need to be seen and parents need to be heard.
Completely. Okay, so just before we go to our last ad break for the hour and come back, and we'll hopefully start with you, Mandy, the principal at King David Victory Park, I just want to read one message that came into the station as we are getting some messages, but I'll read one. Listening to these incredible leaders and educators, I realize how blessed we are in South Africa to have access to this level of education. Thank you all for developing our generations. Wishing you all hearty mazel tov on what will no doubt be outstanding results. So the listener did not sign their name, but thank you for that. And that is really for you as the principals. Short break, and we will come right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are here towards the end of the first hour of today's show of Chai Chinuch, where we are celebrating and discussing matric results and education today with leading principal. And right before the break, or even the previous break, I asked about the different generations as leaders and principals. And Mandy, your thoughts? Okay.
Hello.
Yes, here we go.
Okay, got you. I believe that the shift in generations is tremendous. My father's a headmaster, and so I am a second generation. But definitely looking at it, the difference between then and now is huge. I think, as Lorraine said, relationships are so key in today's times. Walking along a corridor or into a class and really connecting and understanding and having that level of trust with the students at your school, especially in a community school such as ours, is a wonderful thing to have. There's not a day that I don't have a smile on my face from a little bit of interaction, a little bit of banter, children asking how I am, me asking how they are. And I think it's really important that relationship, that connection is one that is strong. I think it definitely takes students and their lessons to a whole other level. And I do agree that teachers that are able to find that balance and have the consistency are the ones that get the most out of their students. In terms of relationships, I think at our school, we definitely are seeing that students and parents and teachers are coming together as one. And so it is so important to be able to hear what everybody has to say, to listen and to consider those aspects very carefully, and then also to give opinions. I really do think it's important to listen, to hear, and then consider and to give your own opinion and then move from that particular position. I think that's where most of the learning is going to take place, and it also is something that is very important in terms of engaging with one another and preparing ourselves for the world out there. So those are my thoughts.
Okay, amazing. So we have completely ran out of time, yet I am going to speak in the next hour with some of your leading students. So what I'm going to do, hopefully not get in trouble for this, I'm going to give each of you 10 seconds for freestyle. Just a message for your students, a message for the future. Where do you hope to see education going? What is it going to be? 10 seconds for each of you, and then we're going to have to end up. So we're going to go around one by one. Joseph Jurassi, Executive Head of Red Hill Schools, go ahead.
I think we're in an incredibly exciting space when we come to when it comes to education. I think the world of technology has opened up so much for us. There's so much to be excited about. I think, as we said earlier, communities have become schools have become community centers. They're places where people care about one another. And as teachers, that is the most important thing. It's for us to make sure that we are there to care. As much as we are there to teach.
And it's very evident that the principals, they are doing that. So that's amazing. Thank you. Annabelle Roberts, head of senior school at Rodin.
Just that we, that care is a genuine desire to want to just bring out the best in every single student. And we work hard towards that. And the results that people get today are going to be a reflection of the investment of every teacher, every parent, and every student themselves. So I just wish everyone the very best.
Amazing. Thank you. Lorraine Schrager, Principal of King David Lingsfield High.
Yeah, I just want to wish Armatrix everything that they wish themselves, and I hope that they've reached their potential. And just want to say that I'm really proud of every single one of them, and I just can't wait to celebrate in half an hour.
Amazing. Yeah, we're reaching a point in life that we can't always tell our students we wish for them what they wish for themselves, but that's a different topic for a different time. Mandy Grews, Principal at King David Victory Park. Okay. So we're kind of losing connection. Not really. So we're going to have to wait for next year's results, or we'll find a way in between. Just want to say a huge thank you to the principal for not only being with us this hour and this special day, but really all you've doing for years for students, for the next generation, for a better South Africa, for a better future for our community and kids. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you, Sana, for organizing the interviews, putting this in place. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. And thank you to the listeners and the messages.